Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
You guys are a bunch of crazy nuts.
With Lou Merlone.
Thank you very much. I am an all-star.
Christian Fourier.
Is there smoke around your rectum?
And Glenn Ordway.
You know, I like a massacre.
With one half of this season down, are your Celtics contenders or pretenders?
This is about where I would hope or thought we would be after all of this.
As the Red Sox roll through spring training, how has Chaim Bloom done so far?
Huge difference in why you're going to win over 80 games.
Jack Edwards will join the show at 4.
And who has more fun than us?
Now it's time for OMF.
He's got clout!
On EEI.
Ah, oh, there it is. He's got... Hey, Mike's alive! Mics are live, and Glenn has clout again.
Oh, it's Friday.
It's your favorite show. It's the Friday edition of OMF.
Oh, my God.
Favorite
you ain't
show,
kidding.
Fourier. Favorite
oh,
show.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I start saying, oh, Glenn has clout, it sounds like it's a very bad venereal disease.
Is that contagious?
You know, I was like, can I catch that? Can I catch clout?
I think you can catch it.
Can I catch it?
It is dangerous.
Oh, yeah. You got to be successful to catch clout.
By the way, what was Brad Stevens just talking about when he said we're exactly where we thought we would be?
Pretty close.
Is he saying after the four games that he thought they would rebound, or is he did he think at the beginning of the season at the All-Star break they would be right here? Because wouldn't you think they'd be a little bit better than this? No?
Well, I think he said, like, what, pretty close, right? Pretty close. So I think they've been through a lot. When I hear pretty close to where we thought we were going to be, I'm thinking we're, I don't know, two, three wins off. I don't know, two. I mean, they're 19-17, and, you know, 22-14. No, 21-15,
I mean,
sitting there fourth in the division. When you look at Philly, what they've done, Milwaukee going in the year, Brooklyn, obviously what they've done. I think fourth, maybe just two or three more wins.
I think their record would have been better, even though I know that Smart, if I knew at the beginning of the season that Smart was going to miss this much time, I think I would pin them a little bit higher. But, you know, they are what they are. They're two games above 500.
Okay, so they are what they are, right? So when I look at it, okay, so... They did show some pride.
Yeah, huge win.
I mean, they did show some pride. Okay, you know, you beat the Wizards. you beat the Wizards because Bradley Beal's an idiot. You beat the Clippers.
No Kawhi.
Because no Kawhi. And then you beat Toronto with their G League team.
And give up 120 something points.
Okay, and then so maybe you know what? Finally,
it's finally
caught up to you. It is a W. Is a W. They ate four W's in a row, so they need a break. So okay. And again, I go back to what we normally say. It's like, what's changed?
Nothing. It's a W.
Nothing has changed.
Yep.
Listen, I would say that they've a weak, mentally weak team would have just given up regardless of who was playing. Like a mentally weak team would have said, it's not worth it. They would have used the whole sour grapes mentality, but at least I'll give them credit for fighting their ass back to winning four games in a row.
I don't think I'm going to overreact to what they've done over first four games. Let's see it all play. Talking about overreacting, the Athletic's Jared Weiss today talking about the impact, something I'm sure we're going to be talking about on a daily basis up to, what is it, the 25th of March.
Yeah.
The daily impact of the Celtics' $28.5 million TPE.
Yeah.
Okay, that's that trade exception that they have. So listen to what he writes today.
I like
it. And tell me this is not an overreaction. Just looking at today, what they decide to do with the TPE could be the difference between being a perennial overachiever or a potential title favorite for the next half decade. Most importantly, and this is the sentence I think that's the real overreaction.
Yeah.
It may determine whether Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have signed their last contract with the Celtics. Just so I can remind you, Jaylen Brown becomes a free agent after the 2024 season, and Tatum in the 2025 season has a player option for $37.1 million. In 2026, he becomes a free agent. What year is this now? Is this 2021?
It's 2021, Glenn. So,
2021, and we're looking 5-6 years down the road. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I think he's right. Number one, that player option. How many guys in the league pick up the player option? Al?
It's in 2025.
Hayward? Anybody? Does anyone in the league pick up a player option?
That's a big
Kemba
one.
Kemba will in 2 years.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I guarantee that.
Yes, okay. He will. Absolutely.
Well, okay. Okay, so he's broke. So at 20, whatever. So he's not going to be broke. So he's a free agent. 24-25 is his last year, not that last one. So he has 4 more years. Okay? 4 more years. Jaylen Brown has what? 3 more years? So 3 more years. Okay.
I just told you. 2024 and 2025.
Yeah. So 3 more and 4 more years. This TPE, this $28.5 million, who he brings in, yes, to me, I agree with him. It starts to lay the groundwork as far as how else, how do you improve this ball club? You got to use this thing. You got to hit on it. So how else are you going to do it? Are you going to move Kemba Walker's money away? You're a couple of years away. My point is that in 2 years or so, Tatum and Brown are going to sit here after 2 more seasons of, Danny sitting there saying, well, we got to wait. I only do something if it makes my team that much better. Two sides. I got to like my guys. I got to like their guys. And in a couple of years, Brown and Tatum sit around like every single superstar in this league and say, you know what? I got a year left in my deal. I got 2 years left in my deal. Exit strategy. I'm out. I've given you 5 years, early. 6 years of my career. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not sure that what they do with coming to the trade deadline is going to
the offseason. How he uses the TP is still this offseason.
That is such a broad stroke. That is such a huge leap.
He's right. Good article.
They don't use the TPE correctly, so which ultimately means Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are walking 4 years from now. By the way. 4 years from now.
Vast overreaction.
That's the stupidest thing. I can't believe he even wrote it. You know, when they decide what they decide to do with the TPE could be the difference. Okay, let's say they use it. I would say it still makes no difference. They could use it and get the perfect person. And 3 years from now, that person will probably be gone. And that person would need to be replaced with somebody else that would be attractive to Tatum and Brown. This TPE is nothing but just a placeholder. It's almost like a free sub at Subway. Like, hey, you punched all your cards, you get a free Subway. Like, it's not going to make the ultimate difference in anything 4 years from now.
I think that's what we do now, that we take something that's happening now and we said, oh my God. You know, this is it. Everything is collapsing. So Jason, everything is falling apart. Yeah. You guys, in 2025 and 2026, everything is going to collapse.
Why are you guys waiting? Something that's I don't understand happening why now. You're waiting like for 4 or 5 years down the road when these guys are free agents.
Because so much is going to happen between.
No,
now
I'm just
and
saying.
Now.
Like you think, like they've got 4 or 5 years to do this. Okay, James Harden just got traded after year two of a max deal.
Right,
he had 2 years left in his deal. Said I want out. Paul George signed a 4-year deal after year one. Said I'm out. I'm trading me to L.A. to go play with Kawhi Leonard after year one of a long-term deal. Harden after year two of a long-term deal. And you guys make it sound like they've got 4 or 5 years until these guys are free agents.
Right now.
But they have 4 or 5 years to be free agents to please your two young superstars.
No, you're making our point right
You've
now.
You've got about another 2 years.
No. Everything changes so quickly in the NBA. Nobody thought Brooklyn was going to be a factor in all of this. And so now they're suddenly the favorite in the East. So it wouldn't surprise me if he had said something like 2 years from now, the Boston Celtics may trade Jaylen Brown somewhere else. That would not surprise me.
That's a different argument. Like the way this is written makes it seem like, oh wow, you have to use this TPE now, and it's going to affect what happens 4 years
Correct.
From now. Now, of course, like you know, the personalities in the NBA, and you are 100% right. If they want out, they will get out.
How you use this? If you can bring in a talent that these guys enjoy playing with for the next couple of years, then yeah, what it does is it prevents 2 years from now, these guys, the wheels start to turn already.
And suppose that guy sucks.
A year from now, the wheels start to turn. Well, what do you mean if he sucks?
Suppose that guy sucks that you bring in with the trade exception, and 3 years from now, Jaylen Brown is sitting there going, we put this guy on a 4 or 5 year contract. I don't want to play with this guy anymore.
Okay, so don't get a guy that might suck, but just don't what? Don't use it? Don't bring a guy in.
You can't look four or five years down the road in the NBA.
No, I'm talking about looking 2 years down the road in the NBA.
It's not 2 years. It's longer than that. So, but you can't look that far down the road. You can't. Everything changes. I tell you what, something might change today. Blake Griffin is being bought out by the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin apparently wants to go to Brooklyn. They don't have an awful lot of money, but guess what? He thinks he's got a chance to get
the ring.
He's
going to Brooklyn.
Okay, if he goes to Brooklyn, does Brooklyn not become a much better team this afternoon?
Of course they do.
Yes.
So I don't understand what your point is.
Because stuff changes on a regular basis and if you in don't, the NBA.
Exactly.
And if but you it's don't, not tied to the TPE.
No, that's exactly.
It is because it's tied to the only way Danny is going to be able to bring in an influx of talent, a very talented player. And if he continues to not bring in a talented player, in a couple of years, you're going to have two young superstars that are going to want out if Danny doesn't get off his ass and treat this season with a little bit of urgency. Treat these careers of these two young superstars with a little bit of urgency because he's got a couple years to convince them they're going in the right direction. Because if they see it's going in the wrong direction, and using that TPE on a quality player is showing them it's going in the right direction.
Well, then you should add to it whether or not they hit – they hit and find a successful player, productive player that fits their system, that is a borderline all-star, will determine it. Like, so they're going to use the TPE. Now, will they use it now? I highly, highly doubt that.
Well, I think that's what he's saying. It depends on how he uses it, right?
Yeah, but you're saying
that's
that
what
all,
he's saying.
You're saying
it's,
that, I mean,
but it's not going to determine
yourself
the fate
in everything
of the
you
Celtics
say.
5 years down the road.
Well, how
that's
they
an
depend,
overreaction.
Again, you keep going 4 or 5 years down the road. I mean, how they use it. Sure, if they use it on a couple of mid-level players and it's not that big of an improvement, if they use it on Harrison Barnes and he ends up pulling a Gordon Hayward year two and blows out and you never see it and they don't have the money to go out and improve this basketball team, it's not 4 or 5 years, Glenn. Again, it's 2 years from now. Your young superstars are thinking of walking and forcing a trade.
They can think all they want. They don't have the mobility to get up and go anywhere.
Why not?
Who knows? Maybe
James
3 years.
Harden did.
Maybe 3 years from now, Danny works out a deal, and Bradley Beal is starting to slow down a little bit, and he says, "Hey, Jason, I can bring your buddy, Bradley Beal, to the Celtics."
So just to correct, I just want to understand this. You're saying that Brown and Tatum can't do anything to force a trade. Is that what you said?
You can do whatever you want. We're seeing Houston in football.
Exactly.
The answer is,
with
the answer
Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
You can do whatever
they,
you want.
If they want out now, they'll get out.
Of course. Yes.
You can do whatever you want.
Yes, you don't have to wait 4 or 5 years.
So you're
going to
worry about that if you're Danny? You're going to sit there and worry about that right now?
Yeah, you better start worrying about it.
Oh, my God.
You better start worrying about it.
Well, you got to worry about building a team right now. And I just don't think that any trade exception right now is going to make a difference down the road with Tatum and Brown. Maybe the best thing you could do is bring Bradley Beal in right now. Then you got a friend of Jason Tatum. He might not make him a better team, but at least he makes Tatum feel good about staying here. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of the Celtics here today. We'll get into some football because apparently Christian is going to give us proof today on why the Patriots are not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. Proof, he says. That's what he's telling us.
Lies.
Plus Jack Edwards coming up at 4 o'clock today to talk some Bruins, all part of the Friday edition, Christian's favorite OMF show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
So let me translate what's been going on right here. I'll help everybody out so we don't have to worry and guess anymore, right?
Yep.
The Celtics want Harrison Barnes. They think Harrison Barnes is the type of guy that can come in here and make a difference. All the fact of like, oh, wow, they're talking to Detroit. They're talking to Orlando. They're even talking to Sacramento. All this is so eventually Sacramento will say, okay, what can we get done with Harrison Barnes?
Nice. That a boy, Scal.
Ooh.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Is that when they were getting along?
Great news. So the Celtics sign Harrison Barnes. He's got 2 years left in his deal.
Yep.
And 4 and 5 years from now, after Harrison Barnes has been gone from the Celtics for 2 years, you're going to get Brown and Tatum saying, oh, yeah, we want to re-up right now because Danny used that trade exception 5 years ago.
Yep.
Harrison Barnes is not. Harrison,
you obviously don't understand.
Harrison
what I'm
Barnes
saying.
Is not going to make this team a championship
contender. I get you. I get what you're saying.
No, wait.
I get what you're saying, but you added that like midway through the conversation.
No, the whole point is keeping these guys happy because in 2 years, they could want out. This is not a fun year. How do you think this year is going to end? Two All Stars. All right, now next year, Danny, use the trade exception for not much. And you hope there's a big jump year two, year three with his bench players. And they go into the season again next year. Disappointing exit because they just don't have enough. Kemba's knee just blew out. They still owe $35 million. They're hard cap. They can't.
Harrison Barnes is going to put them over the top.
Well, Harrison Barnes is going to make their life. Are they a better team with Harrison Barnes?
Slightly. I think it's what Danny was saying the other day. I'm not going to make a deal that makes me two or three wins better this year.
Well,
how about Vucevic?
It would be because he was talking about rentals. But if you got a guy that's under control for 2 years following, and now all of a sudden you've got Barnes and Tatum and Brown and Kemba, and now all of a sudden you make another move, now it's a different discussion in the offseason. It's a different discussion. Maybe you make a trade for a big. Maybe you release Tristan Thompson. Now, all of a sudden, maybe you start winning games. Buyouts, people want to come play for you.
I'm not
you
sure
got to make your
get
team better.
Somebody better than Tristan Thompson.
You got to make your team better.
So, 2 years from now.
You don't have the assets
2 years. 2 years from now, we'll sit there and go, man, where did it start, guys? We'll trace it back to the TPE and Harrison Barnes.
You guys laugh.
Oh, Harrison Barnes.
I do. If you're talking about changing the entire makeup of your team and working out a major deal with Orlando, giving up 3 first-round draft picks, whatever, and getting Vucevic and suddenly changing what your makeup is on your team, then we're talking seriously here. Then we're sitting here going, okay, you're making progress against Brooklyn, against Philly, against Milwaukee. Harrison Barnes makes you better. I would give you that, Lou, because he's a good player. He's a veteran player, and we know they need veteran presence. He is not going to put you anywhere close. Matter of fact, if you add Blake Griffin to Brooklyn today, and you add Harrison Barnes to the Celtics, which team has just improved the most?
Oh, Boston, no doubt.
Yes, I would agree with Tyler, actually.
I'm dead serious.
No, I would agree with Tyler, 100%. I mean, Brooklyn's a very good team. Blake Griffin helps. But Harrison Barnes helps this team more than Blake Griffin helps them.
Yeah, I think you're
no question.
I think you're overrating Harrison Barnes.
Well, I'm not saying Harrison Barnes makes you a championship team. You know, it's sort of like Giannis. Everyone's like, oh, they got Drew Holiday. And it made, you know, it made him happy to sign an extension. Really? Drew Holiday made you happy to sign an extension?
Yeah, Drew Holiday is a good player.
Yeah, I know. He's a good player, but he's not, you know, James Harden, you know, who Brooklyn later got. You know, it's not like, you know, a top 10 player in the league. Harrison Barnes is a good player. He makes your team better. He makes your young guys feel like you go in the right direction. Fine, let's go. We're better right now. And keep them happy. You got to placate your stars.
I like Harrison Barnes mainly because he's a seasoned veteran, and I think they need an adult in the room right now, and he's still a good wing player. So I agree with all of that. I just don't think I'm suddenly going to feel like they have moved up the ladder here because they've added Harrison Barnes. I would rather see the whole structure of the team change right now and make a major deal here in the offseason. So apparently there's something going on here, and we've been noticing it. We've been talking about it off the air with Scal and Abby and Chris Forsberg. This is a little bit from what we call an awkward moment of TV last night.
Scal, two more questions before you get to go to the All-Star break. Who you taking, Team Durant or Team LeBron? And then what are you doing during the break? Because you usually go to Mexico. Are you allowed to leave the country?
Yeah, I won't be telling you what I'm doing, Abby, nor will I tell anybody else what I'm doing right now. Hey, let me ask you guys, did you guys take it? So, because I was too
busy doing this, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've been in this situation before. Do you see how he's kind of like stumbling and bumbling because he's furious?
I won't be telling you what I'm doing, Abby, nor will I tell anybody else what I'm doing right now.
The stare when she said Mexico, he was like,
yeah. Shut up.
So he's trying to process if he should just go at her and just kind of like embarrass her, call her out or whatever, because she just kind of put his business out on the street.
One, two, three, Cancun.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Ryan.
It sounds to me like...
It just sounds too familiar.
She heard off the air that he was going to Mexico.
Well, you might have told her.
Right.
Didn't mean he want to bring it on the air.
And she threw it on the air, and he's sitting there, and obviously Abby is not up to date on the COVID procedure, that the process... that he probably would have to go into a quarantine for 14 days and not be able to go over to the TD Garden, correct?
Yeah, that was pretty uncomfortable. Let's play that for the beginning.
Gal, two more questions before you get to go to the All-Star break. Who you taking, Team Durant or Team LeBron? And then what are you doing during the break? Because you usually go to Mexico. Are you allowed to leave the country?
Yeah, I won't be telling you what I'm doing, Abby, nor will I tell anybody else what I'm doing right now. Hey, let me ask you guys, did you guys take it? So, because I was too busy doing this, right? Did Jason Tatum was
nothing?
The last?
Okay,
you're right. Let's compare what I do during the game to what you do. That's right. No problem. You're right. We were all busy.
Go ahead. What was the question?
Don't play the victim on that one. That was ridiculous, Chris. I'll say this.
We're all grinding here, Scal.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I've been there. Yeah. I've been there when we don't call the game. I know what it's like. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on over there.
There's some.
We need a mediator.
There was some sandbagging going on there.
They let it go. It was kind of crazy. I mean, this guy's doing the color of the game, and Forsberg's like, "What? Plus I'm not working game. Just as hard as you."
Don't play the victim on that one. That was ridiculous, Chris.
There's no way they like each other.
Scal, I don't know.
There's
man.
No way. I think Scal looks at both of them with such just. I don't know what the word is. Not
disdain.
Disdain. I think
Scal,
that's what disdain. Yeah, it's almost like, you guys are so beneath me.
I don't think Scal likes to play. You know what I mean? Like play around. You know, So it's like he wants to call the game. And he wants to have serious basketball conversations.
So he doesn't want DJ Bean on there.
No, he doesn't
Let's
want to be.
Let's dress up as colonial soldiers, Joker. And we can act like we're basketball DJ players in the colonial days. I'll ride my bike over to...
Bruce Arians hasn't named a starter yet. Given his play the last couple of weeks, who knows who ends up starting?
Exactly. Yep. Brady started that game, the Super Bowl.
Did he start that game? How did he do it?
But it's like Scal doesn't want to... All right, listen, we're going to do a talk show, you know, like early edition. I've seen it before, too, where it's like, all right, we're going to do this discussion on the trade for this guy, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that because that ain't happening. That's unrealistic. Do you guys even know the cap hit? Do you even know the trade? How they could, they don't decide. So he breaks it down, and they're like, Scal, it's a topic we want to discuss it. I'm not doing it.
That
like, he doesn't want to play with
the
little
stuff. Then he's in the wrong
business.
They should not have him part of those little segments where you're hey, bold predictions, Cal.
He would never do a bold prediction.
Not like bold
prediction. He would never do bold prediction.
Kemba Walker's back.
Like segment, TV segment.
He was willing to play last year, the last couple of years with Kyle Draper. I mean, back and forth.
He doesn't want to play the jokey sports talk radio early edition BST. Can the Celtics acquire Kawhi Leonard? And he's like, I'm not doing that segment because it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? He just doesn't want to. He'd rather talk about the guy that nobody really wants to talk about.
Hey, let me ask you guys. Did you guys take it? So, because I was too busy doing this, right? Did Jason Tatum was the last?
Okay, Trump.
You're right. Let's compare what I do during the game to what you do. That's right. No problem. You're right. We were all busy.
Now, that's a dig.
What stood out to me, though, is the very beginning, Ryan, when Abby Chin is starting to talk about, she's going to ask him, hey, what team do you want, Team Durant or Team LeBron? And, oh, by the way, what are you doing? Because you usually go to Mexico, right? No, you usually leave the country.
Are you allowed to leave the country?
Are you allowed to leave the country? Antenna, rabbit ears, what did you say? Why are you saying that?
Sounds to me like he's leaving the country.
Why are you saying that? Because, leaving the country, I plan on leaving the country soon. But I really don't care what you guys think.
No, you know what that is? Because if you're going to leave the country, I'm going to go and they're going to tell our people that, Barbie, it's not safe for you to be in the garden.
Yeah, so then they're going to shame you. Exactly. So he's going to have to answer to all that now because she decided to say, what are you leaving the country? And then she dropped her mic. I saw it. And then she walked off the stage.
Are you allowed to leave the country?
I mean, he works with Gorman.
And then she
grinned.
It's
not safe.
Yeah. He's
being irresponsible.
He's an older gentleman.
Don't play the victim on that one. That was ridiculous, Chris.
Grinding here, Scal.
Yeah, I know. I've been there. Yeah. I've been there when we don't call the game. I know what it's like. Okay,
and sit in the couch and just watch.
I like the question. Who do you like? The
Team LeBron.
Because
that would if I was working normally, if I was working on a show like that, and I knew it wasn't illegal. They weren't going to tell you not to do it, but it was almost like, listen, just be careful and let's remember what's important. And then, so my boss is saying, listen, we don't care if you go. Let's just stop, mate. Let's not let everybody know.
Oh, see, old normal. Yeah, you're damn right. I'm going to Mexico. Yeah. I'll see you guys on Tuesday.
Now you're Ted Cruz.
Now
you're Ted Cruz. You're Ted Cruz.
No shot.
Are you allowed to leave the country? Yeah.
Like, how many people for February break? You know how many people I knew that what are you guys doing? We're going to Maine. We're going to New Hampshire. We're not telling anybody though. You know what I mean? It's I'm just. Where are you going? I'm not telling you. No comment. You going away for break? No comment.
Nope. We're gonna do something though. Not sure yet though.
What, by the way, is Perk's arrangement? Because some nights he's on, some nights he's off. Now some nights he's at a hotel with his kids running around in the hotel room.
It is actually time to panic.
And last night, they actually weren't sure whether he was on or not in the pregame show. Is Perk on tonight? Is Perk not? They have no idea whether he's on or not.
I'd say it's fluid. All right, it's fluid. Well, listen, he's on sometime. I don't know if he's scheduled to be every single night. So
I think Perk's in Mexico.
But yeah,
right,
Scal.
Now. Scal.
Scal, that was getaway day. He's like, I'm out of here. Are we done yet? Can I leave? Is the segment over?
Snitch on your coworkers.
Yeah, he doesn't like playing around.
Those TD Garden people, because they're not always crazy about everything the Celtics people do. They probably are going to be monitoring Scalabrini's
return
itinerary here.
I won't be telling you what I'm doing, Abby, nor will I tell anybody else what I'm doing right now.
I am not telling you what I'm doing.
Wow.
The big fella has tipped us off. He claims that he has proof
of what?
Two different
two
different types of proof.
Won't get a quarterback in the first round.
And
also that the Patriots have a mentality in free agency. And guess who he's going to use as an example for this? He's already tipped me off. It's going to be, what a shock. It's going to be Mr. Fourier himself, an article that was written about him years ago. I can hardly wait to hear all of this.
I'd rather him tell me where Scal's going.
It's coming up next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
him on Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. Nope, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
I just want to get a cowbell in the studio.
Cowbell in the studio. That's it. I just want a cowbell. Annoying if you hear it on a regular basis.
Well,
right?
That's the thing about
it's like
a cowbell.
Being at a Tampa Bay Rays game.
No, but that's the thing about a cowbell. It's not. It's never going to overwhelm you.
Nobody has ever said we need less cowbell.
No, and
in fact,
like,
it's we need more cowbell.
Well, why are you hating on the cowbell?
Songs, I mean, a cowbell is good in, but if you just have it in the
I'm
studio,
more of a
what?
Triangle
when
guy.
When you make like a good point, you're going to hit the cowbell. Is that
tambourine,
what you're
cowbell, and the triangle. All things that a non-musical person could use in a band.
Fourier, $14 for a two-pack on Amazon.
I feel like, can you order me one? Just say, bill it to the company.
At Prime
please,
shipping.
Please.
Hey, do we still have that company credit card?
All right, Christian alerted all of us today that he absolutely has proof that he knows the Patriots' mentality in free agency, and they absolutely will not get what Lou Maroney wishes the most, and that is a quarterback in the first round.
Okay, so this is a two-parter, okay? The first part is how they view free agents in general, especially when it comes to building a team. And this is, I kid you not, 100% just by chance, okay? Because sure enough, yesterday when I got home, I got this Google alert about like my name appearing in some article.
I'm not lying.
I clicked on it and it was from 2002. I was like, oh great, whatever. And I said, oh, Christian Fourier signs with the Patriots. Oh, let me read it. See how cool I was back then.
Yeah.
So, but this is what stood out to me. This is how it starts. Okay, it's from ESPN.com. So I was a pretty big deal back then.
It says, continuing
about the Patriots, continuing to sign moderately priced players capable of contributing in areas of need right away. The Super Bowl champion New England Patriots on Sunday reached a contract with myself. Okay, so that's the one part. So you sit there and go, what type of players do they sign? Moderately priced veteran players who can fill a need right away. So they're not going to, if they have a need, if they have a hole in their offense, they're not going to go out there and risk it in the draft. They're going to go out and find the right person, which is that moderately priced guy who fills a need. We identify him, and we make sure we don't overpay for him. Unfortunately, that was me. The second part to that article was interesting when it came to the tight end position overall. Now, listen to this, and just I want you to change Ben Coates to Rob Gronkowski, okay, when I say Ben Coates' name. Okay. It goes on and on and on. It says the tight end position has been an area of obvious need for the Pats ever since the performance of former standout Ben Coates, Rob Gronkowski, began to decline 3 years ago. Coates was eventually released, and New England has never really found a suitable replacement.
Deja vu all over again.
Yep. So that's exactly how I felt. It's the same exact situation. Otherwise, I mean, without the, you know, coming off a Super Bowl win, the fact is like that is the way they think, and they've always thought like that. Listen, so we have a glaring hole at the tight end position. When Ben Coates left, they didn't have a replacement either. They had Rod Rutledge, and no disrespect, but they had Jermaine Wiggins, who caught 14 passes. He wasn't the answer.
No disrespect.
Although no, but he was. Wiggy was a great player. They missed on Wiggy. The point is they didn't have patience enough. They wanted a veteran. I was 30 years old, like Zach Ertz and all these other guys. Okay, Kyle Rudolph. They're all in their 30s.
I get it, and it's a great article, by the way. Yep. And it just miraculously appeared today. But how does this play to lose great desire to have a quarterback?
Well, that's a different subject. Yeah. This is more of a free agency thing. And to explain that, I ran across this article. Lou Maroney gets called up to the Red Sox. Back in 1998, it just came across and how they filled this need and this void. And that helps explain the Patriots' thought process.
No, that's so not so true. I got to find an article here. Hold on.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it's so obvious. But I think it has been obvious the last couple of years to go out and sign this free agent. But when you draft two kids, it's even more glaring this year, and there's a lot of veterans that fill that slot that you're talking about that are free, whether it's Delanie Walker, whether it's, you know, some of these high-priced guys, whatever. But Jared Cooks, Rudolph, Ertz, these types of guys.
Yeah, but it's really at any position. It really is at any position, even with at the running back position, at the offensive line position, not a particular position, but just in that group, defense, defensive backs, defensive line. That is the way they think. So when I saw it, it's like they've been late on the tight end market, just as that is an example. So they will go out and get one of these 30-plus-year-old veterans who will be moderately priced based on what we were talking about yesterday, Glenn, with all the supply that's going to be out there in the market. So to answer your question about Lou and how I feel like Lou is going to be extremely, extremely disappointed. He's going to have to figure out how to get over it because – this morning, I heard our good friend, Mike Greenberg, who will be on the show in April, by the way.
Good morning. It is time to get up.
Okay, when we do our draft specials, Mike Greenberg is actually hosting the draft this year for ESPN. He did a whole little segment, and he just did a really good job of just ripping through the stats over, like, the last, 12 years when it came to teams that drafted quarterbacks. And here's what he said, Lou.
There have been 37 quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2009. That's 12 drafts. Mahomes is the only one among them to win a Super Bowl as a starter. Jared Goff and Cam Newton are the only others to even reach one. The highest graded quarterbacks of the last 10 years are Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, RG3, and Blaine Gabbert. Luck has since retired. None of the other three were starters this season.
Okay, so
not
when
to
I heard,
take anything away from Greenberg, but that is exactly the statistic that we read the other day, in which we quoted from Tommy Curran. My guess
no, that was the one we used was from 2009 to 2016. That was none of the quarterbacks drafted in that era and that time frame are on the same team. Carson Wentz was the last remaining one from 2009 to 2016. This one is different.
But
this
he had more. Curran had more in that column. There was more in that column.
Well, listen, we're not talking about Curran, okay? We're not talking about Curran. I didn't steal anything.
I'll smell you later.
Okay, even though Tom Curran is on the shows, okay, this one to me, to my point, Lou, is that the Patriots, when they view that first pick, they have, you know, Curran talks about pelts on the wall. What I'm saying is, like, it doesn't make any sense to use your assets, your money, to purchase first-round quarterback talent when every single stat tells you that it's a super long shot for you to hit on one. Like, you're not going to get Patrick Mahomes. Like, you're going to get all these other guys that, like, may have one good year, but they're really not going to be your franchise quarterback, and you're going to have to do it all over again. Like, most of these quarterbacks don't see their second contract. Like, it's a five-year deal, okay, with that fifth-year option as a rookie quarterback. Anybody take it in the first round. Most of them don't see their second contract. They don't see the fifth year, Mitchell Trubisky being an example. They said, nah, we're good. So my point is, why would Bill, knowing these stats probably better than ESPN does, sit there and go up and be extremely aggressively, uncharacteristically aggressive, and draft a quarterback in the first round when he knows the value and the longevity isn't there?
I would say because he also and maybe he doesn't, and this is probably the scary thing, is that maybe he doesn't realize how important that position is and how you got to find one.
Of course he does. Of course he realizes how important
so
it is.
By saying we're not going to do something like that, right, because it's too risky. Sitting back and waiting for, I guess, keep taking shots in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round on quarterbacks and hope that you find – you know, something that other teams haven't been able to find in like 10 years, like a guy in the fifth round that can actually lead you, maybe since Brady or something. Like, you hope that just falls in your lap. Because if it's going to be Mariota for two, and then it's going to be Gardner Minshew for two, and then it's going to be Baker Mayfield as he leaves Cleveland for two, and you just sit there 5-6 years down the road saying we have nothing but 15th, 16th, 17th best quarterbacks in this league, and we actually thought for those 7 years that we could win. Because you know why? Because we didn't want to take the risk of being great. We'd rather be mediocre and build the team around quarterback.
No, you play the odds. Like, if you're a gambler, which you are, you sit there and you do your research. It says, where would my money best be spent? Where do I have the opportunity to win money? So I go, that's a stupid bet. Only the suckers do. Only the suckers play the field in craps. That's not a good bet, but you get sucked in it, so you play the field. It never pays out like it should if you just play a pass line. So also I would say it comes down to the devil you know and the devil you don't. I think based on the first thing I read to you from what it was about me, like, you know you have a need. I know what this guy's done in 7 years. I know if I could fix him or not. So I'm not going to take any chances wasting a first-round draft pick, moving up to get a guy inside, inside the 10 and lower, knowing that the odds are that I'm going to miss, even with a year where you can't work him out, you can't see him, you can't interview him in person. So I would say that the odds decrease that you'll find the right guy.
All right, I agree with you that they won't get a quarterback in the first round. Sorry about that, Lou, but I agree for a much different reason. And when it comes to trying to figure out what Bill Belichick will do, I'm old enough to tell you that in the old days, you would sit there and you say, Bill's not going to draft a running back in the first round because he's never done it before. And then suddenly he's on the board, and with the whatever pick the Patriots will take, Lawrence Maroney. And then wide receiver, we said the same thing. He'll never take a wide receiver. And then suddenly he takes N'Keal Harry. Bill is not predictable in that. At all.
I think he's extremely predictable.
I don't think he is.
I think he's so predictable.
Matter of fact, I agree with Lou in this, that I think Bill's looking at the five quarterbacks, and if he could get his hands on the number one guy or maybe the number two guy, and the consensus is probably similar amongst most personnel minds, he probably would do that. But he's not going to get that opportunity. He's going to have to give up too much to do it. And other teams are going to sit there and say, no, screw you. We're not giving up on the number one, number two, or number three guy. So he's going to be stuck with the number four or five guy when he can get the number one pass rusher, number two defensive lineman, or whatever.
Right.
The other aspect of it with Bill Belichick is that I think he wants to turn this thing around.
Well, then
quickly,
the draft is not
correct.
The answer.
And that's why he's going to pass on the quarterback, and he's going to bring in a guy that will be nowhere as good as Tom Brady, but he's going to put enough around him that he thinks he can compete at a fairly high level. And he's looking at this offseason. We spent the whole day talking about it yesterday, in which it's a massacre out there in the league, and this is an opportunity for Bill to go out there and do discount shopping.
I would say the draft is their best chance to rebuild this thing to greatness quickly.
The best chance to be great.
Because
draft picks,
is to like, draft
they come in and wait. So Patriot draft picks come in and start right away.
I would say
Josh
that
Allen, you waited 3 years.
The best chance you have, you will be mediocre at best for the next 5 or 6 years if you don't take a shot and try to find a quarterback that can show you a little something this year, and then next year sort of take off.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes.
You want to be mediocre for a while? Then stick with Mariota. Stick with all these other guys. Stick with Winston. Have him for a couple years, and then realize you've got to improve.
A couple years.
Then the bridge to nowhere. That's what I love. This bridge to nowhere. Let's get this quarterback. Who's the next bridge quarterback? Well, what's this bridge end? Does the bridge end anywhere? Is there another piece of land? Or does it just go off into the ocean, and it's just the next bridge quarterback and the next bridge quarterback? Because apparently nobody wants to take a swing at the draft to actually take a shot and take a chance to go out and being great finding a great quarterback.
Because if you do, there, in most cases, and let's take Josh Allen as an example, it takes you 3 or 4 years for that quarterback to develop. In the meantime, you
does
have
it?
Growing pains. It does. It took him that long.
3 years for Josh Allen, yes.
It did. Took 3 years.
Yep, yeah, I know.
The only guy I can think of out there right now that did it pretty quickly was Mahomes. You could talk about Lamar Jackson because he won an MVP, but does anybody think right now that he's a well-rounded quarterback?
Talk about Herbert.
Take that team to a chance. Herbert couldn't do it. Look at the record. Look at the Chargers' record this past year.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. He's showing signs.
Is it his fault?
No. It's showing signs that he could be a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's got a high ceiling.
Yeah, would you rather be the Chargers right now?
You're not reaching the ceiling for 3 or 4 years.
Would you rather be the Chargers or the Patriots?
Bill doesn't want to wait 3 or 4 years.
Would you rather be the Chargers or the Patriots right now?
I'm telling you.
What organization would you rather be?
What do you mean? With a quarterback?
Not that hard.
Well, I
want to
live in L.A., so I'm going to say Chargers.
Would you rather
be? Well, the Chargers have a quarterback and the Patriots don't, so I'd rather be the Chargers.
Thank you.
But what I'm saying is, Bill doesn't want to wait 3 or 4 years.
No, and he doesn't have to.
Right now, today, win next year.
Right now, today, I would rather be the Chargers. Right now, because of Herbert, than what the Patriots have. Why? Because they took a shot and drafted that kid, the third quarterback in the draft last year. The third quarterback, and right now, they're in a better spot than you. Take a chance. Don't live in mediocrity. It's not a good place. It's not. You got no chance
doing it
the way you guys are talking
whole,
about.
That whole mindset of a moderately priced veteran that can fill a need applies to the quarterback position for the first time. I think they tried to do it last year for this moderately priced veteran quarterback, but they missed. They missed on the player. They will have the same philosophy this year when it comes to what type of player they need. Okay, well, we know we need a young quarterback. We know that we're grabbing a 30-year-old, and I'll get 4 years out of this guy. I'll get 4 years. The first 2 years, he'll be a starter. And the last two, I'll keep him under contract. He'll be a backup. So, but that is the way. You don't just move the piece off the board and replace it and baptism by fire in this organization. Like, somebody always is keeping the seat warm for you. And you don't take over until they know you're ready. Because you know what they do, Lou. They punish you. They sit you on the bench. They try to teach you a lesson. They try to make you conform to their way of thinking. If you don't, Chase Winovich, they sit you. They don't play you. Mm-hmm. They play you 1 week. Then you don't see them again for another 3 weeks. Once you establish yourself and once they can trust you, they implement you as a regular starter. Then they try to keep you and pay you that second round.
Good. Year two. Quarterback shines year two. Ryan Fitzpatrick takes over year one.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is in that bucket. He's in that moderately priced veteran that feels the need.
Right.
Cam Newton was also, but they missed on him. Mm. So they got to do it again.
I'm telling you, Bill Belichick right now is looking at next season and going, we were 7-9. How are we going to be 11-5 next year? How are we going to make that big leap? He's not looking at taking maybe if we can be 8-8 next year and we have a young quarterback. You know what he's more likely to do? He's more likely to draft, what's the kid from Texas A&M in the second round or the third round or something like that. That's what he's more likely to do and have that kid sit behind that veteran. All right, so we get to you. Coming up at 617-779-7937. Where's Bill Belichick going? Because all of this is going to happen in the next few weeks. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.